As election time rolls around, what do Christians and pro-life people need to do?
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
I'm Evangelist Alveda King with a very important message regarding the midterm elections. You may already be aware that there was an executive order from the White House encouraging churches to preach the gospel of life more freely than had been allowed in previous administrations. With this executive order from our president, the church has been unbound, set free, and can now preach Bible truth again freely from the pulpit without fear of retaliation from the IRS or losing its tax-exempt status. In fact, I was with President Trump when he signed that executive order, and he referred to my uncle, Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., as an example of how courageous preaching can help change our nation. Pastors are free to preach on any topic at any time, even if that topic is being debated in elections. Let the scripture then, from the book of Deuteronomy 30:19, resound from the pulpits of America. I call heaven and earth today to witness against you. I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. Choose life then, that you and your descendants may live.
Well, brothers and sisters, early voting is taking place all around the country, and this is an activity that we have been urging you and other voters to take part in. In other words, once voting opens up in your state, get your vote cast if your state permits you to vote early, even if there's not a reason that you can't vote on Election Day. We're going to go through each state, including yours, and remind you of what the early voting rules are. And but before we do that, I want to give you a little bit of a view of the importance of this, a little bit of the history of early voting, and apply it to this election, because there's some good trends that we see, some positive signs, and you can make the difference. You can really make the difference, because the House races, especially, so many of them, are so close that a few hundred votes in various districts is what is all that could be necessary to shift the balance of power in the House of Representatives. A few hundred votes in a handful of districts. You and the people you know, you and the people in your church, you and the people on your contacts list or on your social media followings can be the ones to shift the whole election. It is not an exaggeration to say that. It's not an exaggeration to believe that and to act on that. That's why early voting is such a benefit, because you can mobilize more and more people during the time that the polls are open in your state. And even if your state does not have early voting, you can prepare now so that on Election Day you can be reminding people all during the day. I would recommend you take the day off from work and just spend the whole day reaching out to other voters and making sure that they don't forget to vote, making sure that they can get to the polls if they need assistance, maybe even providing that assistance. Whatever it is that you can do to increase the number of votes beyond your own. But let's talk a little bit about what early voting is. You know, in the first half century of our country, early voting was used. In other words, there wasn't just an election day. There were several days, and the reason was travel. For people living in rural areas to get to the towns and to the county office where the polling place was, they had to allow a little bit of extra time in case the weather was bad and the rivers were running over or whatever the obstacle might be. But then in 1845, the law was passed to designate the first Tuesday after the first Monday in November as the federal election day. And one of the reasons behind just establishing one single day for election day was to prevent people from hopping to multiple states and voting more than once. But then, of course, there was the military. Now, people who were serving in the military and other places, and this started even with the days of the Civil War, people needed to be able to vote from afar. And so at first they would ask the family members to vote by proxy for them, but then provision was made for them to directly send in a ballot to their local board of elections and let that ballot be counted early so that they would not lose their vote. This was a privilege granted to the military. But then as time went on, in the early 1900s, it started to be extended also to civilians, that if they were going to be traveling on election day, or if there were some other reason like illness, that they could vote absentee or that they could vote early. And there had to be, however, a state-approved reason, and in many places that is still the case, that you can vote early, but there needs to be some kind of reason why you cannot vote on election day itself. Then, starting in 1980, so this is a relatively recent development, the state of California began instituting a mail-in ballot system for civilians that wanted to vote early without any excuse. In other words, there was no reason why they couldn't vote on election day, but they preferred to vote earlier. And you know, when you think about it, it's kind of smart, because if there's just one election day, well, what if you're unexpectedly ill that day, or you have car problems, or it's bad weather, or you're just so busy that you forget, or there's some kind of emergency at home or at work that you have to attend to. So many things can get in the way of casting our ballot. So it's smart. It's just smart from a perspective of beating the odds to be able to vote early if that opportunity is offered. And so, as I say, various states in the western part of the country began to do this in the 80s. And then in the east, the phenomenon began of having in-person early voting. In other words, just designating certain polling places to open up some days or even some weeks before election day. And this got underway in the 90s. And the courts upheld this practice of early voting when it was challenged, saying, well, look, you can cast your vote early, but all the votes cannot be counted until election day. Election day is the day that we tally up the votes and bring the election to its culmination. And this is where we stand today, that various states now offer this in-person early voting, no excuse needed why you can't vote on election day. So we're going to go through at the end of this where your state stands in regard to this and show you the place on our website where you can find that out. Now, this is not to be confused with the absentee ballot. The absentee ballot, if you know that you're not going to be in your polling place on election day, absentee ballots are available. But no excuse early voting, either by mail or in person, is just for the convenience of it. There's a number of other benefits to it, too. Let's think about this for a moment. If voters are going to the polls days or even weeks before election day, and in some places, the early voting started in the end of September. So you're talking about not an election day, you're talking about an election month plus more. You're talking about an election 6 weeks or so. If that's the case, think about it if you're running a political campaign. You're going to want to inform the voters earlier than you otherwise would have of any information that could convince them to vote for their candidate. Information flow, in other words, is going to be more generous, it's going to be more plentiful, and it's going to be offered sooner. Also, you remember the October surprise that the election campaigns used to be afraid of. They would come, like at this time of the year, just before Election Day, while it was still October, some kind of explosive information to come out about a certain candidate, maybe an accusation, something that happened in his or her past to try to turn voters away from that person. And it would be an October surprise because it wouldn't give the campaign or the candidate time enough to respond before Election Day hit and people were casting their vote based on whatever latest information they had about the person. But with early voting, this becomes less and less feasible. Early voting is becoming so popular that in some cases, races are already determined by this time in the process. In some cases, if enough percentage of the electorate in that particular district or that particular state have in fact come out to vote. And it varies from state to state, but sometimes you could have a third or a quarter or even half of the people getting out there to vote early, or even two-thirds of the people. Again, it varies a lot from state to state. It varies also in terms of how much it's promoted. But the point is that these kind of last-minute surprises are harder to pull off effectively because with early voting, you want to influence voters, but if they're going to the polls early, you know, there would have to be, if someone was going to do an attack on a candidate like this, it would have to be done earlier, but then that gives the candidate more time to respond. It gives people more time to do fact-checking, etc. You also have the phenomenon of election districts informing the campaigns about voters who have voted early. The votes are not counted, but informing the campaigns that you voted earlier, and so the campaign doesn't have to send you any additional information if you've already registered your choice. People who tend to vote early, when you think about it, it makes sense that these are people who are following politics more closely and are more convinced of their choice. If people are informing themselves well and they're more convinced about their choice earlier on in the process, and new information is not going to persuade them to change their election choice, well, then those are the kind of people that are going to be more likely to vote early. We will see a lot more people voting this week that is starting now than have voted early so far in the process, because now, you know, many of those who did not made up their minds a few weeks ago may well have made their decision and are going to start heading to the polls prior to Election Day. I think it's a great idea, and it's a great opportunity. The thing I want to emphasize above all is, first, that you vote early so that nothing interferes, nothing unexpected can come up to keep you from casting your vote. But then the second thing is, equally important, that it gives you an opportunity to mobilize. It gives you a chance to reach out to other voters. Like we're always saying, it's not just about casting our vote, it's about influencing as many others as possible to vote. And now, we used to say, I already did say it to you, take the day off on Election Day and just use the day to mobilize more voters. But now it becomes even easier to do that if you have multiple days in which to do it. I want to urge you to do that. People that constitute what we call the low-hanging fruit, people who are already convinced of what you are convinced of, people who already think the same way, people, for example, who may be in your church congregation, who may be in your pro-life group, who you know share the same values, and who trust you. It's just all about relationships. If there are people that trust you and know you and will listen to you, well, if you reach out to them and tell them, hey, I think you should consider this particular candidate, or I think you should look at this particular information, or vote for so-and-so, he or she is great. In these cases, you know, there are a lot of people that will listen to you right away. It's not going to take hours and hours of conversation or debate to convince them to vote a particular way. If they already trust you, if you already know that they tend to think the same way, it's just a question of reaching them. So look at your contacts list. Look at your email list. Look at your Christmas card list. Look at your social media followers. People follow you on social media and you follow them because there's some kind of a mutual trust there. There's some kind of a relationship. That is what's going to influence them and enable you to influence them. Reach out to all these people. And if early voting is taking place in your state, well then, now's the time to get those people a little reminder, a little nudge. Maybe you want to send them a voter's guide. We've got a lot of voter's guide material on our website. Votinginfo.org gives you a lot of links to voter guides, votinginfo.org. And we'll be putting up more of those links this week, and we'll be talking about voter guides a lot on these evening broadcasts. Let me go over with you here now some of the information that's been coming in. We see that in a number of states, the good trend that the Republicans are coming out in great numbers in early voting. For example, in Tennessee, the statistic came out that 63% of early voters, 63%, were affiliated with the Republican Party compared to only 30%. Aligned with the Democrats, and similar trends are being noted in other states as well. Now, we're going to show you on our website, and I want to go through with you, brothers and sisters, each of the states so that you know what the situation is in your own state. If you go to prolifevote.com, that is our overall election website, prolifevote.com. And on the top, there are various blue buttons that lead you to various key sources of information on different aspects of this election. One of those sources of information is the election calendar. So if you click on the election calendar, then you will see a number of different links as you scroll down. And there are links that are related to early voting, and there's one in particular that I want to go to now. It's the early voting by state. In other words, the listing of the states alphabetically, and then what that state does or does not do in regard to early voting. Now, I'm going to review this with you, but please note, if you have any doubt, any question, or anything's not clear, or if you just want to double check for more detail, go to the election website of your state. And we have all those links also on that same calendar page where we just were before we went to the link for early voting. So you'll find your state's website. They'll tell you everything you need, and you'll even find phone numbers there that you can call to talk about to somebody who can help you with more information. But just going down from A to Z, let's look at what's going on. Alabama does not have the early in-person voting. Now, remember, we're just talking about in-person, no-excuse voting, okay? If you have a reason, if you can't get there, you want an absentee ballot, that's different. We're just talking here about, hey, I'm just going to go vote early because the polling place is open. I don't need any excuse. So Alabama does not have the early in-person voting. Early in-person voting is underway in Alaska, Arizona, Arkansas, California, and Colorado. Connecticut does not have it. In Delaware, you can vote early, but you need an excuse. You need a reason why you can't vote on election day. Early voting is open right now in Florida, in Georgia, in Hawaii. In Idaho, the dates are set by the individual counties. So there you have to check with your state election website if you're in Idaho. Early voting is underway in Illinois, in Indiana, in Iowa. Now in Kansas, the dates for early voting are set by the individual counties. So again, you have to consult the state website. Kentucky requires an excuse in order to vote early. Louisiana has a special setup. They have runoff elections, and they have the actual early voting for later on if there's a runoff election at the end of November. In Maine, in Maryland, and in Massachusetts, early voting is underway right now. Some of these voting periods conclude, by the way, a couple of days before Election Day. So again, you look at this calendar and you'll see. Michigan requires a reason for voting early. Early voting's underway in Minnesota. Mississippi and Missouri both require reasons to vote early, that you can't be there on election day. In-person early voting, no excuse voting, available now in Montana, in Nebraska, in Nevada. Early voting in person is not permitted in New Hampshire or New Jersey. In New Mexico, early voting is underway. In New York, early in-person voting is not permitted. Early voting is in effect now in North Carolina, in North Dakota, in Ohio. In Oklahoma, it'll start on Thursday, November 1st. So Oklahoma, Thursday, November 1st, November 2nd, and November 3rd, that is when they have their early voting. Now, in Oregon, all voters receive ballots by mail, and they may be returned in person. Early in-person early voting is not permitted in Pennsylvania, Rhode Island. In South Carolina, you need an excuse to vote early. Early voting is wide open right now in South Dakota, in Tennessee, in Texas. Now, in Utah, the individual counties decide if and when they will offer early voting. So check the state website for that. Early voting is going on in Vermont. In Virginia, you need an excuse to vote early. Early voting is open in Washington and West Virginia. In Wisconsin, the dates are set by individual cities and towns. So you need to check with your Board of Elections. And finally, Wyoming has early voting going on right now. So that covers the states. Brothers and sisters, if any of you are pastors, if any of you are influential in your churches, announce this to your people. Encourage them this week to get to the polls. Don't wait till next weekend and say, okay, folks, you know, Tuesday is election day. Do what you can now through the church website, through any communications that are going out, any services that are being held during the week. Let the people know about the early voting. Once again, brothers and sisters, let's not lose this opportunity. Let's take advantage of this particular, really a gift that is given to us to make our influence in the elections count even more. Now, during the course of the week, you know, we have these nightly broadcasts. So every night we're going to come to you at 9 p.m. I'm going to be doing broadcasts in the morning as well. Keep tuned into the schedule. But we're going to have different topics each night. We're going to talk about things this week like voters' guides, how to find information about the candidates. We're going to have a program on why the right to life is the number one central and most important issue in the elections. We're going to talk about Death of a Nation, the key book and movie that Dinesh D'Souza created. That's a really good tool for preparing for this election because it traces the real history and heart and core of the Democrat Party. You'll be surprised at the incredible things that he uncovers there. We're going to look at that in detail. We're going to look again at the comparison between the two parties and their platforms. This week is going to be chock full of educational information on these nightly broadcasts. I want to ask you to help me reach the people I can't reach, but that you can reach. It can boil down to that. I'm going to say something that might seem crazy, but it's true. The results of this election, including what party controls the House of Representatives, can literally depend on your contact list. Those of you that are watching me right now, or any of you individually, it can literally depend on your contact list. I am not exaggerating. So we look at so many of these races. I was talking to various political experts who are colleagues of mine just today, again, about the state of this race. And we're talking about statistically tied races in so very many toss-up districts across our country. It can depend on you. That's why I'm urging everyone, let everything else wait until after November 6th. Anything that you can have wait, let it wait. And let this be our top priority to make an influence, to make a difference in this election. And tonight, as I said, we're urging you to use the tool of early voting. We're going to be covering a lot of other topics, as I already mentioned, and you can also go back and look at the topics we've covered in earlier programs here on this series of pro-life. By the way, we're calling them pro-life MAGA broadcasts. Have you got one of these hats? I wear it proudly. Make America great again. That's what we're saying. And we should. We're patriots. We believe God has given us this country and the principles on which it's founded. We've got to continue preserving those principles, expanding our nation's adherence to them, making America great. So we've established a special web address, Pro-Life MAGA, M-A-G-A, Make America Great Again, ProLifeMAGA.com. You can watch all these special episodes that we had already. Like last night, for example, I had talked for about an hour about taxpayer funding of abortion. How your tax dollars and mine, unfortunately, do in fact fund abortions. We talked about how that happens and how we can stop it, and how President Trump and the Republicans are working to stop it and have in many ways stopped some of these streams of money, and can stop them even more if we put more pro-life Republicans into power as a result of this election. On the other hand, we elect Democrats. You know what they want? Their party platform says so. They don't only want abortion to be legal without any restriction. They want you and me to pay for it. They really don't deserve any power at all if that's what they're trying to do, among other outlandish and outrageous things. Pay attention to these things. We talked about taxpayer funding of abortion. We talked also about the other day about the freedom of the church to preach and to proclaim and to talk about politics and elections. We went into great detail about the Johnson Amendment and what's being done to get rid of that too. And we talked about a lot of the confusion. Go back and watch and share these broadcasts. That's what we're asking you to do. ProLifeMAGA.com. It's one of the buttons also on our, everything is at ProLifeVote.com. ProLifeVote.com. You see all the little buttons of all the different things I'm talking about, including the past programs that we're doing, like the one we're doing now. Take those links, share them with others. Again, help us reach the people that we can't reach, but that you can. Finally, President Trump is having fantastic rallies all around the country. He had a couple of more this weekend. Watch the rallies. Again, ProLifeVote.com, that's your one-stop shopping. And right at the top there, you're going to see the link that leads you to these rallies that he's been having, because the rally speeches that he has been giving summarize the importance of this election, lay out point by point the progress that has been made, promises made, promises kept. That's the banner that they're putting on all these rallies. You see the things he has promised, which motivated so many of you to vote for him 2 years ago, and you see how he has fulfilled those promises and more, going above and beyond what he said he would do. And the purpose here, having these rallies like this, is to remind and motivate all those voters from 2 years ago that they need to come back out now and vote again. Why? Because otherwise, the things that they wanted to see happen by voting for the president, even though many of those things have happened, look at the two Supreme Court justices we have, for example, and many other things, won't be able to continue to happen unless he has strength in the Congress. We need more pro-life Republicans in the Congress to get more of this fantastic stuff done that he has promised and that his administration is following through on. Plus, in these rallies, he goes into the dangers of electing the Democrats. He reminds us of their godless mob rule philosophy and the ways that the ways that they are misleading this country. Watch these rallies. They're really inspiring. They're really helpful. And again, right there at ProLifeVote.com is where the link is to these rallies. Now, we have a question. Actually, I really always appreciate when you, our viewers, ask me questions here on Facebook. Norbert is asking, Father, is it wrong to be a Democrat? Well, Norbert, that's an interesting question. You know, I have many, many friends, as I'm sure so many of our viewers here now do, who are members, have been members for a long time in some cases, of the Democrat Party. And these are strong pro-life advocates. I mean, many of these people that I know on the grassroots level are as pro-life as I am. So when we talk about where the Democrat Party stands, one of the big problems that we have is that the official position that the party is taking in the party platform is so different from what the grassroots Democrats believe. And so this is a question that each, if you belong to the Democrat Party, and I know I'm talking to many of you who do, understand, first of all, I don't know you. I'm not criticizing you when I criticize the Democrat Party. I'm criticizing positions that are very radical that their platform has taken. And I'm criticizing the leadership of the party, particularly at the national level, which has gotten completely out of control, and which I'm convinced does not represent what so many good people like you really believe and want to see happen for America. So the question is this. What I would say is this. If you belong to the Democrat Party, please work for change in that party. That's the key thing here. In other words, first of all, understand where the party has gone. Because especially if you've been a member for a long time, you know, there's been a lot of changes. And one of the things we have on our website, and if you look carefully there again at prolifevote.com, at all the different links we have, one of the things you'll see is that we made not only a comparison piece of the positions of the two parties, we made a timeline showing how, as the years have gone on, the Democrat official party positions have gone so far against what we stand for as a church and as a nation. Embracing unlimited abortion, for example. Redefining marriage and gender, for example. And then, of course, the various things that President Trump has been pointing out in these rallies and some of the extreme positions that again, the grassroots people don't believe in, or even perhaps don't even realize how far the party has gone astray. To know these things, if you embrace some of these radical pro-abortion, pro-gay rights kinds of positions, well, then it certainly is wrong to embrace those positions. And then one has to ask in conscience, well, what's the best thing I can do to influence our country to go in the right direction? Do I have influence within the party to help them change direction? Or do I have to give witness to the party by leaving it that it has gone off on the wrong track? One of the very important things I would point out to you is this. Again, razor-thin election here. The control of the House of Representatives is at issue. Even if you are a Democrat and you are strongly pro-life and you agree with the things I'm saying and you love the church and you want religious freedom, you know, the party is working against a lot of these things. And even if you have a candidate that you say, oh, well, he or she is a Democrat, but oh, they're really good, be very careful. Because if you put a Democrat into power in your particular district, and we're talking about now the U.S. House of Representatives, and that particular race could be the one that shifts the balance of power, what ends up happening is that you're not just voting for the candidate in your district. You're voting for what is going to happen to all the rest of the members of the House of Representatives. Because if the House goes under Democrat control, then doesn't matter how pro-life or pro-religious freedom any particular member might be, they're not going to be able to advance that agenda. Because now if the party controls the House, they control the committees. If they control the committees, no legislation is going to get through those committees that doesn't correspond to these radical positions of the party that you yourself might disagree with. So we long answer to a simple question. There are problematic things associated at this point in time with being a member of a party that has gone so far away from the things we believe in as a church and as a nation. That's how I'd answer your question, but I want to encourage you individually, all of you that are listening who are pro-life Democrats. Like I say, I know them all over the country. Unfortunately, you are not represented by the Democrats that are in the United States Congress and by so many of them that are running for re-election. For example, let me just point out one more example. We sent out an action alert about this. Back in January, the House of Representatives voted on a bill as to, here was the question. You might not believe this, but look it up. It's there in black and white. The bill said, if a baby is born alive, outside the womb, after a failed abortion, what should happen to that baby? This bill said, well, the baby should be taken to a hospital and cared for. Do you know that 183 Democrat members of the House of Representatives voted no on that legislation? The abortion industry opposes it, and these people tend to line up on every vote that happens in regard to abortion. They tend to line up for the abortion industry. And notice in this case, we're not even talking about an abortion. We're talking about a baby who's alive outside the womb. They couldn't even bring themselves to vote to protect those babies. 183 Democrats, only six of them. Only six House Democrats voted to say, yeah, let's protect those babies that are born alive, and all the Republicans voted in favor of that as well. So there's something really wrong with the party. And 166 of those 183 Democrats are asking for your vote now in districts across the country. You really gonna let them ask for your vote without challenging them about their vote? And saying, wait a minute, before I even think of voting for you, can you tell me what's wrong with protecting a baby who's born alive? So these are some of the profoundly disturbing things. I cannot imagine that any of you who are watching, who might consider yourselves members of the Democrat Party, I can't imagine that you would vote that way if you had the opportunity to do so. I can't imagine that. So we've got to challenge. This is what I'm saying. We've got to challenge these people. We can't just let it slip by. We can't give them a pass on this. And we've got to challenge them publicly. Because our fellow voters, our fellow citizens, they have a right to know about this stuff. Well, friends, thank you for the question. Thank you for your sharing these broadcasts, bringing other people in. Again, you can reach a lot of people we can't reach. Help us to do that, especially this week. We've got to come together like never before. We have got to work hard this week and get a good influence on this election. Well, one of the things we do every day with this election, we pray. We've got an election prayer campaign going on, electionprayer.com, electionprayer.com. Go there. I'm going to say the prayer with you now. You can get this prayer in English and in Spanish. And we're running out of these prayer cards. So many of you have been ordering them, but I think we're just about running low. But you can always print it out from the website itself. And let us know. There's a little sign-up sheet on that webpage. Let us know that you're participating in it. If you'd like to co-sponsor the prayer campaign, there's still time even now to do that if you run an organization or a church. Or just let us know that you and your family are saying this prayer. May we say it together now, that God will bless our nation as we make these important election choices. Let's pray together. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O God, we acknowledge you today as Lord, not only of individuals, but of nations and governments. We thank you for the privilege of being able to organize ourselves politically, and of knowing that political loyalty does not have to mean disloyalty to you. We thank you for your law, which our founding fathers acknowledged and recognized as higher than any human law. We thank you for the opportunity that this election year puts before us, not only to exercise our solemn duty to vote, but to influence countless others to vote and to vote correctly. Lord, we pray that your people may be awakened. Let them realize that while politics is not their salvation, their response to you requires that they be politically active. Awaken your people to know that they are not called to be a sect fleeing the world, but rather a community of faith renewing the world. Awaken them that the same hands lifted up to you in prayer are the hands that pull the lever in the voting booth, that the same eyes that read your word are the eyes that read the names on the ballot, and that they do not cease to be Christians when they enter the voting booth. Awaken your people to a commitment to justice, to the sanctity of marriage and the family, to the dignity of each individual human life, and to the truth that human rights begin when human lives begin, and not one moment later. Lord, we rejoice today that we are citizens of your kingdom. May that make us all the more committed to being faithful citizens on earth. We pray through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, friends, may the Lord bless you and your loved ones, protect you, and grant all your prayer intentions. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Stay with us. We're going to give you a few more special spots here and announcements and messages, and then join me again. I'll be on with you tomorrow morning, and then again tomorrow night, and every day right through Election Day. Let's do this together for victory. God bless you all, friends. Father Frank Pavone here of Priests for Life.
Many pro-life people worked hard to elect President Donald Trump. That hard work has paid off for the pro-life movement and the unborn. Here are just some of the pro-life accomplishments of the president and his administration. Number 10, President Trump has called on Congress to pass key pro-life legislation to protect babies and defund the abortion industry. Number 9, President Trump has filled his administration with strong pro-life people in key positions. Number 8, President Trump has ended the HHS mandate, forcing employers to cover abortion in health insurance. Number 7, President Trump set up new conscience protections for those who refuse to participate in abortions. Number 6, President Trump ended the secrecy about which health insurance plans cover abortion. Number 5, President Trump stopped funding the abortion industry overseas. Number 4, President Trump protected your tax dollars from funding abortion through Title 10. Number 3, President Trump gave the states the right to stop funding Planned Parenthood and abortion. Number 2, President Trump appointed 2 pro-life Supreme Court justices and dozens of other pro-life federal judges. And the number 1 thing, the first and greatest thing that President Trump did for the pro-life movement was to keep Hillary Clinton out of the White House. To all of you who voted for President Trump in 2016, congratulations. Your vote paid off. But be sure to get out and vote again this 2018 midterm election so that the president has a strong pro-life Congress to enable him to continue winning more victories for the cause of life.
Priests for Life has prepared for you a special toolkit so that you can carry out what our bishops call faithful citizenship and make a difference in this year's important election. The kit outlines church's teachings about the duty to vote and how we make our voting decisions as Catholics. It also clarifies the legal boundaries of which churches can and cannot do, and the much wider range of activities that you can simply do as citizens. The toolkit contains Father Frank's book, Abolishing Abortion, a study guide to the bishop's document, Living the Gospel of Life, guidelines on what churches and organizations can do at election time, a guide to the positions of the political parties on key issues, an election prayer card, and 2 powerful brochures, Voting with a Clear Conscience, and 10 responses to pro-abortion politicians. Now is not the time for apathy. Let's get up and get involved in electing public servants who know the difference between serving the public and killing the public. Order your election toolkit and equip yourself and your friends today. Give us a call at 321-500-1000. Again, let's get involved and get that election toolkit by giving us a call at 321-500-1000. Thank you.
Hello.
I'm Evangelist Alveda King with a very important message regarding the midterm elections. These elections are every bit as important as the presidential elections or any other election in this country. On every level, it's very important that our leaders believe that in God we trust and that we are and must remain one nation under God. I'll take it one step further and say that we should be teaching that we're not even separate races. We are one blood according to Acts 17:26. One blood and one human race. Abortion is such a threat to America, to the baby in the womb, to the health of the mother, to the relationship of the father and the mother, to the relationship of the family, and then into all areas of life in our nation. But we each can do something about it. I urge all of our followers and our communities to vote for life. Your vote matters.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.